You know, it's not often like people ask like questions of like why something in the Bible happened. Like usually people's questions are a little more kind of personal about why something, you know, in their life might have happened. But there are a few exceptions to that. One of them surrounds today's gospel, the baptism of Jesus. And people will ask, why did Jesus need to be baptized? I don't know if you ever thought about that before. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus is without sin. Why does he need to be baptized? Why did he want to be baptized? And there's a good answer to that, but to get there, we've got to think about what John's baptism was. A little different than what we do today in the church, the baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. John obviously wasn't doing that. John wasn't baptizing people kind of in a sacramental way like we're used to. John was offering a baptism that wasn't unusual in the Jewish world. It was something called like a mikvah cleansing. And in the Jewish world, there'd be like kind of three reasons why someone would do that. One would be like a health reason. So if you just kind of got over a sickness or anything that had any type of physical ailments connected to it, before you kind of went back to work or went back to synagogue or went back to society, you would do a mikvah cleansing. That was one reason why people would do them. And most people had the ability to do those types of cleansings in their homes. Not everyone. So the local synagogue would have a mikvah bath in it if a person didn't have the ability to do those in their homes. But most people preferred to kind of do those privately in their homes. And then there would be another reason why people would do those types of cleansings would be to get ready for big like religious services and events. So like Passover, you know, the Day of Atonement, big things, like if, to put it in our world, right? Before Easter service, you would do a mikvah. It's like a wash, kind of a cleanse to get yourself ready to encounter God. And so priests and people who served in the altar, you know, and if we lived in those times, everybody who served would have to do a mikvah before they served on a Sunday, right? Those types of things to get ready. Those were reasons people would do these types of immersions in water that John was doing. But that's not why people are going to John the Baptist. There is a third reason, and it was to mark a new beginning, a fresh start. And so maybe there's been times in your life where you've done something to like mark a new chapter in your life. Well, these types of mikvahs or baptisms would be these immersions in water that would go along with prayers to start a new chapter in life, a new beginning. And maybe it was something kind of a milestone of life. The Jewish people we know would do them, say, at like bar mitzvah time when a boy was coming of age. They would do it maybe with a big life transition, moving to another town, leaving your father's house, retiring from a family business, or transitioning so that your son would take over the family business and you would no longer be the leader of the business. Things like that would generally accompany this type of ceremonial act, kind of a new beginning, a fresh start. So it's that kind of idea of what John the Baptist is doing, but he's doing something even more specific. He's not talking about like a life milestone fresh start. John the Baptist is specifically, his ministry is specifically at the Jordan River offering people a fresh start in their spiritual life. So the people that would come to John would come to him because he was an amazing preacher. We don't have a ton of his sermons in the Bible, and the ones we have seem a little harsh, but we just have to trust because he had such a large following and was so highly regarded throughout the country that John was a great preacher, and that people would come to him and want to seek a new beginning in their relationship with God, a fresh start. And it might be people that maybe felt kind of that they had done some things in their past that they weren't proud of, that the guilt of those things were feeling very heavy. Or it might be somebody that just was feeling like, you know, today's the day God's calling me to just draw closer to him. And all of these reasons would be why somebody might come to John the Baptist and be baptized in the River Jordan. And John is choosing the River Jordan on purpose, right? It's not an accident that he's there. It wasn't just the closest river. He's doing it on purpose because the River Jordan is the body of water that the Jewish people crossed when they entered the Promised Land for the first time, 40 years after leaving Egypt, when Joshua led them into the Promised Land to take it as their home. They had to cross the River Jordan. And John the Baptist is doing something like this. Today, you can come here, offer yourself to God, confess your sins, give him your heart, whatever it is that you may do, and immerse yourselves in the water of the Jordan rivers. And coming out, it's like you're stepping into the Promised Land for the first time. It's day one. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. And so you can imagine, again, why John was so popular, because there were so many people who felt the heaviness of life, like you and I do, and maybe have done things in their past that they're not super proud of, or maybe they did things in their younger years that the guilt kind of stays with them. And John was offering them a chance to say, let's mark today as a day to have a fresh start. And so the people came from all over, and one of those people was Jesus. Now, what Jesus' baptism meant to John, that's all next week's gospel. So we'll save that for next week. But I do believe Jesus was going, not because Jesus had some heavy sin on him. We don't believe Jesus committed any sin. But because Jesus was marking a new beginning, a fresh start in his life. Because up until this point, Jesus is relatively quiet. He's kind of a homebody. He's not out preaching, healing, teaching. He's not, you know, doing these works of God. He's kind of the carpenter's son. And up until this point, Jesus has lived a pretty normal life. And something changes. Now, we don't get in the scriptures what exactly it was that Jesus said, now it's time. Some people guess that Jesus turned 30. 30 was the age that you could take on kind of priestly leadership in the Jewish system. So if you were, their system worked like this. If you were 25, you could start training and you were an apprentice. Between 30 and 50, you could serve. At 50, you had to retire. And after 50, you trained the apprentices. It's kind of an ingenious system, if you think about it. Now, life expectancy shorter those days. So 50 might have been like 70 for us. You know, who knows? So 30 was the age where, like, you could be the high priest. 30 was the age where you could be like a leader in the Sanhedrin. 30 was the age where someone was considered mature and wise. I don't know if that still counts for us. Maybe on a case-by-case basis, we have to make those decisions. But in those days, 30 was just generally considered mature and wise. And so Jesus is 30. Maybe there's something about waiting to that age to start. I have a theory. I would just like to think personally. This isn't in the Bible. But I would just like to think that Jesus honored his Father on earth as long as he was alive. And Jesus was the carpenter's son as long as Joseph was alive. Now, we know Joseph isn't around in Jesus' adult years. We don't know when he passed or why or how. But we do know when Jesus starts preaching and teaching, Joseph is no longer alive. And I wonder if, when Joseph passed, Jesus thought it was time to honor his heavenly Father's business, so to speak. If Jesus, in his own way, honored both of them, one way by serving with Joseph and providing for the family as long as he was alive, and then when that season passed, Jesus marked a new beginning and kind of started his public preaching ministry. Whatever the case, Jesus goes to John because He wants to mark the beginning of a new chapter. And John is the one that's going to help him do it. Now, there is another cool thing happening here. If you are somebody who can handle a Bible, slightly nerdy Bible deep dive for like the next 2 minutes, this is for you. And if you're not, I will promise we'll come back to the regular sermon. But there is a custom in the Old Testament where kings would get would have their coronation done by the prophet of the day. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know David and Saul, the kings, were anointed and crowned by the prophet Samuel. Then his successor, the prophet Nathan, crowned Solomon, David's son, and that was the custom. And eventually, the high priest kind of took over that role, and the high priest was a Levite, because you could only be a priest in the Jewish world if you were born a Levite. Now, it's interesting, Jesus goes to John to start his kind of public ministry, and John is both a Levite. Now, he's not a priest. His father was, so he's in the bloodline, but he is the prophet. And he sees him to start his ministry, kind of like the kings in the Old Testament, you know, would be anointed by the prophet before they started their reign. And the last kind of interesting tidbit about this is that there was a psalm that was used at the crowning of kings, Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 was a coronation psalm. And there's a line in Psalm 2 that says, "Today you are my son. Today I have begotten you." Now, it's interesting. It's almost as if nobody's catching this moment. So God himself breaks in and offers the prayer for Jesus's baptism, his kind of coronation with John, so to speak. And the Father, the voice from heaven comes in. Our gospel tells us, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And I checked on the original language of that just to see what it said. And, Bible's translated, so it sounds better in English, but the way the original Greek read was, "This is the son of mine, the beloved one, in whom I am always well pleased." Right? So a little different than what Psalm 2 says. Not "today I've made you my son," but "you've always been my son, always been my beloved, always been someone well pleasing to me." And God wants people to know that's Jesus. So maybe there's a little bit of that, that this starts Jesus' ministry kind of like a coronation, so to speak, but not with pomp and grandeur and riches and ceremony, but Jesus is with the people who are seeking God sincerely, trying to make a fresh start. So let me come back and close out the sermon. Thanks for indulging the nerdy deep dive that I took you on. Let me close out with that. We have a Messiah, a Lord, whose ministry is marked not by his greatness, but by his desire to be with those truly seeking God, even those who have not had the greatest past, not had the cleanest conscience, not made the best decisions, but those who are truly seeking him for a fresh start and a new beginning. And that is such good news to us, because maybe today might be a day we need a fresh start. Maybe we're one of those people that feels like, you know, I feel God's calling me to something more than what I'm doing now. And today's the day we begin. Or maybe we are okay. Maybe we're not feeling tugged in that direction today, but we may have some people in our life who are absolutely driving us crazy. I don't know if you have any people like that, just hypothetically speaking. Some of us might. People in our life that are absolutely driving us crazy, and maybe our heart towards them should be one praying for their fresh start rather than maybe some of the other words we might use when we think of them, right? Maybe we could remember that our Lord and King is one who gives fresh starts, who wipes clean, who forgives, who restores. And so I would encourage you, wherever we might be, to take great comfort in this story of Jesus kind of using the beginning of his ministry to just show where he is. Not someone who is looking for his own greatness, but someone who's longing to be with those of us who are turning to God, even if our past is not great. Even if we have things on our conscience that cause guilt and shame, to give us that fresh start. And to take comfort for those in our lives that might drive us crazy, that a fresh start would be available to them too. So whether we need it or others need it, let's take comfort in the truth that the Lord and King begins his ministry the way he lives his ministry, offering a fresh start, a clean slate, mercy and forgiveness to those who need it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.